70. Count your blessings. And when we sing that, when we come to where it says, name them one by one, let's sing it, name it ton by ton. All right, so make sure you get that. First, second, and last verses. Let's stand. 370. Jesus concerning you. So, how do you give thanks when you don't have air conditioning? You give thanks because it could be worse. Okay, we could have no air conditioning. It could be about 110 degrees in the building. It's not yet, but thank God we're still able to come in the house of the Lord today. So, praise God for that. And so, this is the day that you bring out the funeral home fan and start using that. So thank God we can be here in the house of the Lord today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. How many have an unspoken request and we'll take it to the throne of grace in prayer today? All right. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for a beautiful day. And Lord, we thank you that even though the air conditioner is not working today, we know things could be a whole lot worse. And we thank you, Father, that it's not incredibly hot in here. We still have a good temperature. And we thank you for that. We pray, God, you help us get that fixed soon. We pray that you bless the unspoken requests that have been lifted up. We pray that your will be done in each and every heart and every life. And we pray, God, that you'll minister to us today and help us, Lord, as we look into your word and give us something from heaven. And I pray, God, that as our radio ministry goes out over the internet, that you will be with those that are listening. We pray, God, that you will help them today. And I pray that you'll go with us and strengthen us. And we'll love you and thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Pray for the choir.
Number 32, choir. Page number 32, Someday.
To bear, but there'll be no more someday.
Because He Cares, number 41.
Truth is in the Word of God. What a wonderful principle to claim. Let's take our red books, turn to 420 for our fellowship song, and we're going to bring in the sheaves. 430, we'll sing the first and second. Is that right? 420, rather. 420. And first, second, fellowship. Come back on the last as we stand.
Thank you.
you be seated. Thank you, Caleb, for your musical accompaniment at this time.
Very good, Caleb.
I was talking to Brother Charles Taylor this past week, and he says, yeah, I believe that Caleb is looking for jobs in the church.
Yep.
And so I think so too. Start them out early, right?
Yep.
Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, everybody lose a job.
Amen.
All right. Okay, let's pray for Miss Teresa as she sings for us this morning.
Dear Savior, say, I'll take all your fears away, your troubles and doubt. My feet were on sinking sand, and I knew that I could not stand. Then I felt his precious hand, and he lifted me out. He lifted me out of the deep miry clay. He planted my feet on the heavenly way. I'll tell it where'er I go, for I want the whole world to know. I'm glad that he loved me so, that he lifted me out. I traveled down broad road, far away from the blessed abode, and beneath my heavy load. But now I can shout for Jesus, the Savior true. When I called on his precious name, he took all my sin and shame, and he lifted me out. If you are away from God, in the pathway of sin you trod, let him be your staff and rod, and turn you around. From sin he will set you free, and the pathway of life you'll see. Then just as he did for me, he'll lift you right out. He lifted me out from the deep miry clay. He planted my feet on the heavenly way. I'll tell it where'er I go, for I want the whole world to know. I'm glad that he loved me so, that he lifted me out. He lifted me out of the deep miry clay, and he planted my feet on the heavenly way. I'll tell it where'er I go, for I want the whole world to know. I'm so glad that he loved me so, that he lifted me out.
Amen. All right, Miss Kelly, I think Miss Darlene's already gone down. If you want to take the kids with you down. She and Caleb have already made it down. All right, let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 5, please. Luke chapter 5. Wednesday night we start our missions revival. So I want to speak on the subject of missions this morning. This would not normally be considered a mission passage, but I'm going to turn it around that way. You are familiar with this story, of course. It is the story of the paralytic, as Dr. Schofield puts it. I don't know in this day and time if you change that to paraplegic. I'm not sure. There's so many different names out there today. But we're going to look at chapter 5, and then we're going to look at verse 17 and read down through verse 26. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it's easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. Father, speak to our hearts. And teach us from your word, in Jesus' name, amen. As I said, the message in its context is very simple, but I want to make an application. I want to make an application to missions. What is missions? We talk about missions. We support people called missionaries. But what is missions? Well, let's take the word missions and let's singularize the word missions, and let's take it to the word mission. All right. Now, when we think of a mission, we think of maybe a group of people that come together to start a church, and they call that a mission. But what is a mission? A mission is a goal that you set in your life. It may have nothing to do with Christianity. You may have a mission in your life to lose weight. That's a mission. You may have a mission in life to try to help your children become better human beings. That's a mission. Okay? A mission is a goal that you set. Missionaries have a goal. What's their goal? The missionary goal is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And God calls men and women to mission fields, to work. And if you will think about, and I want to think about for a few minutes this morning, I want to think about missions, and I want to think about the miracle of missions. Because if we think about it, there is a great miracle that takes place. For instance, in verse number 17, I want us to see a manifestation. You'll notice the last verse says this, the last part of verse 17 says, And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Notice the phrase, the power of the Lord was present. Now, I've heard stories, and you have too, of missionaries. I guess one of the most amazing missionaries I've ever had the privilege to know is one that we support here at our church, and that is our brother to Suriname, Brother Darrell Chandler. And I've heard Brother Champlin tell stories about how he was challenged by witch doctors. And on one occasion, I remember that the witch doctor threatened his life and told him, you know, he said, now, the witch doctor said, we'll see if our spirits, our voodoo spirits, are stronger than your God. He said, because I'm going to walk on coals of fire, and you will walk on a coal of fire, and we'll see who the true spirit is. And the voodoo witch doctor did indeed walk on
Well, I heard Brother Champlin make the statement. He said, I'd never walked on coals, never entertained walking on coals. He said, but I knew I had to do it. He said, I knew I had to show that God was the true God. He said, I took my shoes, I took my socks off, I prayed. And he said, I walked, and he said, God worked a miracle. He said, I walked across that coal of fires and not so much as blistered. And you know what? God is in the miracle working business. And it says that the power of God was present. And if you think about missions. Let's think about missionaries for a moment. Missionaries have to give up a lot. They have to give up so much. They have to leave their homes. They have to leave their family. They have to leave their cultural surroundings. And they have to put up with a lot. You and I, we talk about, forgive me for using this word, but Americans bellyache a lot. They bellyache because we've had so much, then when a little bit's withdrawn from us, we begin to just whine like a bunch of babies. Okay? We're used to, if we take a hankering and we want a Big Mac, then we're going to go down to the Double Arches and we're going to get us a Big Mac if that's what we're hankering for. If some people want coffee and they want to go down to the Double Arches, they can get to the Double Arches. Okay? Unfortunately, there are some places in foreign lands that don't know what a Double Arch is. Okay? I have heard of places, there are places like Moscow, for instance, in Russia, and places like that that do have Double Arches, but I have heard you do not want to eat those hamburgers. I've heard that they're not very tasty because a different kind of meat is used in preparation for it. But you can go there and get them. Okay? All right? And that type of thing is present now. But there are people that have to go into these foreign lands, such as India, for instance. And in India, you don't eat beef, because you might be eating a relative, because they believe in reincarnation. That's awfully hard. That's very hard to have to go through that kind of a culture shock. And sometimes we don't always appreciate these dear missionaries who go through the culture shock. Sometimes they may not see their families. They may be lucky to see their families in 2 years. But on the average, it's normally 4 years, because that's normally how long a furlough is. The very fact that those missionaries have a call of God on their lives. Now this week, we will have, Wednesday night, we're going to have a gentleman that you may have never met. I guarantee you, once you meet him, you'll never forget him. I promise you that. And his name is Brother J.D. Walker. And Brother J.D. Walker recently resigned his church, which is called, his name of his church was Thus Saith the Lord Baptist Church, up in Fieldale. And he's going to be working to continue the ministry of Brother Roger Williams in planting churches in the Philippines. And so, like I say, when you hear him Wednesday night give his testimony, you'll never forget Brother J.D. I promise you that. He's different. But you know what? That's not easy. That's not easy. To go to a foreign land and to work with people and you don't understand cultures and that type of thing. And the fact when Brother Roger Williams went and did that and established these churches and on down the line, you know what? You've got to claim a verse like that, verse that says the power of the Lord is present. Because you can't do it in your own power. You can't do it. These missionaries can't do it in their own strength. Okay? A Darrell Champlin can't walk on coals of fire without there being a God in heaven. Brother Fry has talked about the story of where he actually, I think he's told the story here, but he actually brought a demon with him back from one of the foreign lands, somewhere in Africa, I think. And that demon came to America with him and plagued him. And if you've not heard that, then next time he comes, we'll have to get him to tell that story. But God delivered him, but he talked about all the spiritual oppression that he experienced from that demon. And you know what gets you through that? The power of the Lord is present. Okay. What do you do when you are a white person and you go into a different land, a different culture, a different color, a different ethnic origin, and they look at you like you're weird. There are some things that we consider immorality that over there is not immoral. Do I have to go very far on that one? But there are some places where you can go if a woman shows her ankles. That is considered immoral. All right? So ladies, you're all sinners. You're showing your ankles. But there are other parts of the anatomy that you can show over there and it's no problem. But here we would consider that kind of thing. Okay? Cultures are different. What do you do when you have to go into a culture and you have to... There is a movie and a book. If you ever get a chance to see the movie or get the book, you ought to. I found a copy of it somewhere in a used bookstore for next to nothing. It's called Peace Child, P-E-A-C-E. And Peace Child is a story of missionaries who went to a certain part of Africa, I believe, and they went there and they were trying to teach the gospel and they never could get the gospel to be understood by the natives. But when they got to the story of Judas Iscariot, everybody's face lit up and they applauded Judas. Here's why. In their culture, treachery and betrayal was a virtue. They thought those were heroes. Well, here we don't consider that a virtue. We consider that a vice, to be someone that betrays, and we would use the word backstab. But they considered that to be a great, great thing, and they applauded that. And you'd have to see the movie or read the book to see God turned all that around and was able to show the gospel. They didn't understand the gospel, and they didn't understand why Judas was a villain, if we may use that terminology. So when you go in, how do you deal with those things? According to that verse, and the power of the Lord was present. So you must have, these dear missionaries must have the power of God in their lives, on their lives. They must be called or they'll never make it. They'll never make it. Then in verse 18, I want you to see a motivation. It says, behold, men brought in a bed... I brought a bed which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. Now, you have somebody that is sick, he is paralytic, he is lame, he cannot walk. Four people have burdened to get him to Jesus. And they take him on, if you will, a cot, and they each pick up a corner, and they go, and when they get to the place, to the house where Jesus is teaching, they stop and notice that the entire place is not only filled up on the inside, but people are surrounding the outside trying to hear what Jesus has to say. And so they come to the reality that they cannot get him to Jesus in the normal fashion. They can't get him through the door because the door is blocked and they can't get him in. So they must decide, how important is it to get this man to Jesus? Jesus, Savior of the world, preacher of the gospel, the blood of Christ washes us from our sins. An individual has a need on a cot would never be able to get to Jesus if it were not for four different people. And they decide they're going. Now, one person couldn't do it. Two people really, maybe, but it'd be awfully hard. Three people wouldn't be easy because they'd throw the shift of balance off. But four of them together each got a corner of the cot and brought him to Jesus. There are people in foreign lands, aren't there, that need Jesus. We support 30 missionaries. We try to help them. And we want to do more if we can to help our missionaries and be a blessing to them. But you know what? A missionary has a hard time getting to the mission field, doesn't he? Because of the fact that a missionary in independent Baptist circles has to go from church to church to church to church. Not one church. We are not able to support one missionary fully. We can't do it. No other, I say no other, there are some churches, I guess, that are large enough, they could support maybe one missionary, but that depends on what that missionary needs. If that missionary needs $2,000 or $3,000, then I don't know that any one church can do that. But I do know some churches that do take large chunks and they share that with missionaries. Well, each church does what they feel like they're able to do. But the point of the matter is, we as a church could never support one missionary and keep him on the field totally. But we can do a little bit. Now, let's say that we have our church, Faith Baptist Church in Ringgold, and let's go over here to Riverview Baptist up here, Pastor Ronnie Andrews in Danville. Let's go over to Holland Road Baptist Church and the pastor over there, and Brother Mays, and then we can go over here and say Victory Baptist with Brother Branch, and we have four churches. Let's say that a missionary comes in, and that missionary, let's say that all four of our churches decide to try to help that one missionary get to the field. We're sort of like the four men that have the cots, and we're taking, and each one of us are bearing a corner, trying to help that missionary, because that missionary, we can't do it by ourselves. It's impossible. I wish we could, and I know you do too. I wish we could just help. If one missionary could come in, I think it'd be great if an independent Baptist church could take one missionary and support him, but we know that's not possible. But we can't get him to the field. But we can each take a corner and try to help somebody preach the gospel. And do you remember the words of Paul in the book of Romans? He talked about, he said, how shall they hear except they be sent? We are senders. We can't go to the mission field. Now, if God calls us to the mission field, then that's wonderful. And there are people that God calls to go to the mission field. Thank God for the missionaries that each one of us in our individual lives have had the privilege to meet, to get to know them. It's a blessing to get to know missionaries. It's a blessing to get to listen to their burden and to see the fact that they have overcome many, many odds to try to get to the mission field. We have some friends that are missionaries in Togo, West Africa. I got to know this one brother back when I was actually in Bible college down in Jacksonville, Florida. And there was a friendship that took place. And then when I pastored my first church in Baldwin, Florida, he came and he presented the work. And through the years, we've always kept in touch with one another. We have watched our families grow up. When they were home on furlough, if we got down to Jacksonville, we would go to their homes. We'd talk to them. When they'd come up in this area, they would come and stay with us. And I marvel as I look at some 30 years that these folks have been in Togo, West Africa, and they have been faithful, and they've stayed by the stuff, and churches have supported them. And I look at that and I just marvel, because I see the fact that they have so many insurmountable odds. But you know what? It's their motivation. What keeps these people on the mission field? It's their motivation. They want to get people to Jesus. And you have to just look at people like that and marvel and be amazed and appreciate them and love them and pray for them and give to them, because they deserve it. You know, if there's an area that we're lacking our churches, and this is a project I think that we should try to do, it's not an easy one. But you know, I know this for a fact, that missionaries tell me things like, they'll say, boy, we would love once in a while to get a letter, a personal handwritten letter from people in the church to at least let us know we're just not a number. That happens all the time. And I know that the missionaries are thankful for the money. They've got to have it. But you know, that's not a bad little thing to do. Maybe as we get closer to Christmas, did I say that? As we get closer to Christmas, maybe we could adopt some missionaries and have people in our church write a letter and send it to a missionary. That would be a real blessing, wouldn't it? Sure would. Why? Because their motivating factor is they want to get somebody to Jesus. But they need a little encouragement along the way too, don't they?
So there's a manifestation, there's a motivation, then there's the method. How did they get him to Jesus? Well, they looked and they saw the house surrounded, so they begin to figure out, what do I do?
So they decide somehow they're going to tote this man on this cot up on top of the roof. Now, the roofs in those days were not like the angled roofs that we have now. Those roofs were flat. So they got him up on top, and then if that wasn't enough, they got a tool and they started chipping away, removing the tiling, and as Jesus is teaching inside the house, there are all of a sudden some types of crumbs or pieces that float down on top of the people, and then there's a light that comes through and everybody looks out, and there are the four men, and they're going to lower him to Jesus. Is that the best way to get him in? Not at all.
The best way is take him through the door.
But in those days, no different from people today, they didn't want to move. They wanted to hear. They wanted to see. And it's irrelevant that this lame man is here. That's irrelevant. We're just thinking about us. See, people haven't changed. People are always thinking about numero uno. And so they just, no, go away. We don't want to hear it. Did that stop them? No. How do we use methods to get out missions? Brother Julius, who did you say was listening to the radio? What countries were represented? Do you remember? You told me this a few minutes ago. France, Canada, Trinidad. Somebody from the U.S. One person in the United States. All right, I think that's amazing. I really do. Because think about some of us that are older and have been in church for a while. Do you know how much technology's changed? How many of you are like me and you remember the days that a missionary would come in and show slides? Raise your hand. Remember slides? Yeah. You don't see people with slides anymore. They use computers. They use discs. It is so easy. Now, that doesn't mean it always works, because we've had some missionaries here that's had a hard time making their stuff work. But now I remember when you used to have the slide projector with the round, you know, container, and you slip the slides in it, and then they would click it, and it'd say, now here we are fishing out on the Gulf, or whatever you want to call it. Click, and then you'd hear that sound. And it'd go, you know, and everyone, and it would make that, and it was just the slowest thing in all the world. And now, everything is you got music, you got narration. I mean, it's just fantastic. You didn't have that 30 years ago. You didn't have that 20 years ago. All right? Now, through internet, look at the people that are listening. Isn't it amazing that a little church like Faith Baptist Church is being heard in Trinidad? Isn't that amazing? We're living in a different day, aren't we? We are able to literally, as a church, we are able to carry the Great Commission just like Jesus told us to. But we can't do it all, because in the case of radio, not everybody's going to listen to the radio. Somebody's got to have some flesh and blood. Somebody's got to have a preacher. And so we have to help the preachers. And we have to help the preacher's wife. And we have to, and that's what we do as churches. And it's biblical, and it's right that churches help missionaries. So our methods change, but look at the next thing. Verse 20, there's still the message. And when he saw their faith, he said unto them, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Now, again, it's amazing, because there was a day, when you go back to the days of the old circuit riders, what did a circuit rider do? A circuit rider would do exactly what his name said. He rode a circuit. He had a certain schedule or a map, and he got on a horse, and he would go into an area, and he would preach one Sunday, probably a month or 2 months or maybe 3 months, depending on how big his circuit was. Those churches did not meet three times a week. They would meet probably one day, maybe Sunday morning and Sunday night, and then the circuit rider would get on his horse and he'd go to the next community and he'd be there the next Sunday and however long. And that was a circuit rider. That was the best
he could do. That was the method that he had. He did not have internet. He did not have any of those things. He didn't have Facebook. He didn't have Twitter.
At that point in time, he didn't have locomotives to get on and carry him where he needed to be. He didn't have cars to travel. It would take him probably a day to do something. You and I could travel in a car in about 2 hours or something like that. Okay? Why? Because as technology changes and methods change, we have to use everything available to try to reach people with the gospel, but the gospel never changes. Now you say, why are you saying that? Because if you will look, if you'll take a time, let me challenge you sometime. Take some opportunity and do a study. Get you a pen and a notebook. And pick out two or three, if you've got the time. I know you don't have the time to do it, but I'm saying you can just stay. And pick two or three televangelists and watch them for a series of times, like a month. And write down and take notes what they say.
You'll be surprised. Because we hear catchphrases. Catchphrases. Are you saved? People's definition of salvation is not the same as the Bible. I heard a fellow the other day saying that it was more important, that he felt like that the devil fought more in the area of healing. And I forgot what the other one was, but he never said anything about doctrine. He never said anything about Jesus Christ. He said nothing about preaching salvation by grace. But he said the devil fights more about doctrine than something else. And I'm thinking those things are not important. What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? There is nothing more important. And if he's going to, if the devil's going to distort anything, he's going to distort the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I challenge you, you'd be surprised if you pay attention to what some of these jaybirds are saying. You'll be shocked at what they're maybe not saying. Okay? Message must always be the same. So we see, first of all, a manifestation. The power of the Lord must be present. Number two, there must be a motivation. We must do our best to try to get people to Jesus. What is our motivating factor behind it? Our methods. Our methods change. But number four, our message. Our methods change. Our message does not. Now, let me go back just for a second when I make the statement, methods change, because I don't like the way that's being used today. When we see the contemporary movement as we do, here's what I mean by contemporary movement. Churches that look like coliseums and have rock and roll music and use any Bible they want to use if they use one. And their argument is, oh, methods change. No, methods don't change that much. I remember growing up, I heard enough preachers. I remember, some of you remember, when they used to have record burning. Some of you don't know what a record is. Record's a big old CD.
They call it now vinyl. But I remember when churches used to take, and they'd take records, and they'd have a bonfire and they'd burn the records because they had rock and roll music on. Do you remember something called backmasking? Backmasking was where they used to take and play the records back and you could actually hear lyrics that gave praise to Satan. I heard them. And they'd have bonfires and they'd burn records. You tell me the last time you heard any church do anything like that. And the reason's because the very thing that 20 years ago, 30 years ago, we were against, we're for it now. And our excuse is let the methods change, message doesn't. But I have found that with those people that adopt that stuff, guess what? The message and the methods both change.
Last thing, number five, there is a mystery that takes place. Verse 21, and the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? The people are all upset because Jesus has said to this man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And on another occasion, he told another person, thy sins are forgiven thee, go and sin no more. And they're saying, oh, this man's blasphemous because he is forgiving sin. Only God can forgive sin. Duh! This is God. This is the Godhead. This is the God-man. No doubt about that. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering. Now notice that he perceived their thoughts. They didn't say this to where he could hear it, but he read their minds. Who can do that but God? When he perceived their thoughts, he answered, why, what reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say rise up and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon the earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, go into thine house, and immediately, right then and there, immediately he rose up before them, took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And then they were all amazed. Everybody in the whole place, shocked, amazed. Their mouths have dropped open. They glorified God and they said, we have seen strange things today. I have mentioned several times, if you enjoy reading, every Christian should always read the book Through Gates of Splendor by Elizabeth Elliot. Because in that book, it tells the story of Elizabeth and Jim Elliot and four other missionary families who go to Ecuador in the 1950s. And in the 1950s, Ecuador had nothing but killers, headhunters, murderers. They had brought in, I think it was either Texaco or Shell Oil Company had come and moved in to bring in one of their companies in Ecuador back in the 50s. And the Indians attacked, and I think some of the employees were murdered, and so they had to abandon the project, and there was this building for the oil company there. And so the missionaries went in to use that company building to set up their ministry. And so you know the story, how that Jim and the other four missionaries died at the hands of those missionaries. Now, there was a man in church history called Tertullian. Tertullian made a great statement. He said this, the blood of the church is the seed of the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. And what he meant by that is you will never see anybody die for Jesus Christ in vain. Now if you go to Ecuador, there are schools, hospitals, churches that are all over Ecuador, but it started something like 60 years ago because the blood of those missionaries was shed and God used it and great things happened, and now they even have a Christian radio station in Ecuador. 60 years ago, that never happened. You know what we'd have to say to that? We've seen strange things today. If you take the opportunity sometimes to read the missionary letters that come in the back, you see the missionaries, you hear, you read, you understand that some of the things that they do, they would say, we have seen strange things today. The fact that you look around and see churches that are preaching the gospel that should not be, what I mean when you look at the prices and the money and all the things that are going on in this day and time, it's a miracle that churches even keep their doors open. I told somebody yesterday, I said, it's amazing to me. I said, everything's going up. Gas prices are going up. Grocery prices are going up. Everything's going up except salaries. I get a big kick. You go and you look at the price of a new car. Why is it that a new car is so expensive, but it's not made with the quality they were made 20 and 30 years ago? Some of those cars 20 and 30 years ago, you could hit it with a torpedo, it wouldn't hurt it. Now you bump into something and a little car will fold up, and then you paid like, you know, $12,000-$13,000 for a little car. Doesn't make sense to me. Everything's going up but salary. Okay? It's a miracle in this day and time that our churches can stay open and do the work of God. But guess what? We have seen strange things today. The fact that our church is here and we're serving the Lord and we're supporting missionaries and we're preaching the gospel. You know what? We've seen strange things today. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying that in this day and time we've got the government against us. If the government had their say, our church and other good churches would be closed down. Don't you think they wouldn't? If they pass some of these tax laws they're talking about, we're a goner. Because this church would have to pay taxes going straight back to its inception. And not just us. But you know what? God has kept His hand on our churches. And there are two reasons I believe God keeps His hand on churches. Number one is the fact that we love Israel. I heard somebody say the other day that our president is the most anti-Jewish president that's ever been in office in the United States. Why? Because if he is pro-Palestinian, which is another word for Muslims, then he's going to stand against God's people, Israel. And as long as the church is pro-Israel, and number two, as long as the church is pro-missions, I shiver. I have heard stories of churches that decided to drop all their missionaries and take the money from missions and put it into the local church. That scares me, because God's heart is missions. What is missions? Missions is reaching people for Jesus Christ at home in America. Let me finish up by taking you to one verse, just a few pages from where you are. Look at Acts chapter 1. Acts 1. Here's missions. Okay? We're having a missions conference, a missions revival. I like that phrase, missions revival, because we need a revival of reaching people for Jesus Christ, at home and abroad especially. But look at 1:8, Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. That's being a missionary. You say, well, preacher, I'm not a missionary. Yes, you are. Every one of us are missionaries. You have seen some churches that when you go out the door, they have a sign over the door that says you are either entering the mission field or you are a mission field. That's a good statement. What does the Bible say? You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Notice this little word, both. Both. In Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and under the uttermost parts of the earth. And that's the key to missions. We need to be a mission field in Ringgold. But we need to be a mission agency representing the gospel in Alaska through missionaries like Brother Starr. We need to be a missionary in Ringgold, but a missionary also through Brother Fred Daniel as he'll be going to Mexico. We need to be a missionary in Ringgold, but also we should be a missionary through Brother Daryl Champlin in Suriname. We need to be a missionary right here where we live, in Ringgold and Martinsville or wherever you live, and as well as supporting missionaries like Brother William Cabotain. And on down the line, you understand the principle. Why? Because it says, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both. 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 I appreciate the fact that the folks of our church have a passion for missions. You do. And I appreciate the fact that you have given extra above your offerings to give Faith Promise. And I pray that we will continue doing that so that we can help these missionaries. And as our missions conference is over, I will share with you my vision for what we can do to try to help our missionaries. So let's be in prayer for our missions conference. And I'm going to tell you what let's do. Let's do this today. I'm going to ask that those of you that are able to come, and let's pray. Let's pray for our missions revival. Let's pray for the missionaries that we support. Let's pray that God will let us do more for missions, and that God's hand will always be upon our church and keep the doors open so that we can get the gospel to people around the world. If you'll come at this time, those that will, if you'll come, you can pray at the altar, if you want to sit on the front benches. Let's just pray as a church and pray for our missions revival. Dr. Martin, as he brings the messages, the missionaries as they share their burdens, and pray for our mission, our 30 missionaries that we support. Let's hold them before the throne of grace. They're facing the attack of the devil. We don't know right now what some of those missionaries are going through. We pray. We must pray. God, undergird our missionaries. Protect them. Strengthen them by the good grace of God. Let's pray for a little while and then I'll close.
Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We want to thank you for the privilege that we can come and pray. We pray on behalf of our missionaries, Lord, and we pray, God, for them. We thank you, Father, for the church supporting these missionaries. I pray, God, that you'll ever make provision that we can keep these missionaries as far as our support level is concerned. And Lord, may we be able to do more for missions. May you impress upon our heart. May you bless us, Lord, that we may be able to reach people for the cause of missions. Cause of Christ. And Father, I pray that you'll bless now, and I pray for our missions conference that's going to start Wednesday with Dr. Martin. We pray that you'll give him the messages that we stand in need of, Lord, for this missions revival effort. And I pray for each of the missionaries that are going to be here with us. And I pray, God, that you will go with them and help them in their respective ministries. We pray for the missionaries that we support, the 30-some missionaries that we support here at the church, and I pray, God, that you will be with these dear missionaries. They have so much to face. They have so many obstacles. I pray you'll bless them. I pray that you'll meet their needs. I pray that you'll help them. We think of Brother Champlin and how he, in his days, has had to face the enemy like voodoo witch doctors. And, Lord, there are other missionaries that go through obstacles and hardships, and they need you, and I pray for them, and I pray, God, that you bless them. So I pray for every one of our missionaries. Lord, thank you for the privilege to support us, help to support them. Help us to continue to support them and help our church to do more for missions and help our church to grow and to get out the gospel. And and help us, Lord, and bless us, and give us people, Lord, in our church that can help us as we try to reach people with the gospel, not only in Jerusalem, but also in Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world. And so, Lord, I pray for that. And just bless our day, and we pray you'll help us get the air fixed, and pray you'll take care of that, and pray for every one of our folks. Help us, keep us in the center of your will. Help us to do that which pleases you. And again, help us just to serve you and to love you, and thank you for the opportunity to try to help missionaries. And I pray that you'll bless. Give us a great revival meeting. We pray that you'll minister to us and that you'll bind the devil and that you will give us a wonderful time in the Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Ask the young men to come and receive the Lord's tithes and offerings at this time. While you're doing that, tonight we're going to have the service in the fellowship hall, or we're going to turn the air on. Okay, so just come to the fellowship hall tonight for the evening service. Okay, so keep that in mind, please. For some missions revival. Thursday night. Let me just say this: Thursday night. We're going to have Brother Stephen Shutt, S-H-U-T-T, just like shut the door. And he is with Bearing Precious Seed Ministries, and he's going to talk about the ministry of Bearing Precious Seed in getting the gospel, getting the literal Bible around the world in different languages and that type of thing. What they do is they have a ministry in which they print Bibles. What they do is they sell the Bibles, and then they use the proceeds for the Bibles that are sold here in the States to help print Bibles in foreign languages. I've asked Brother Shutt to bring a number of Bibles. Either here on this table or another table, we will have him set up the Bibles that will be available for you to purchase. So if you have been thinking about buying a new Bible or someone you know is interested, I'll tell you a couple of things about those Bibles. Number one, they are all genuine leather. Now, do you know what I mean by that? These are the Bibles that I like that you can take, and they're like butter. They just like that. Okay? And normally, a Bible like that, sold by places like Cambridge and Oxford, run about $150. That quality Bible, these Bibles are about anywhere from $50 to $60. They're in a better color scheme. You can actually, through them, if you like red Bibles, not burgundy, but red, you can get red Bibles through Bearing Precious Seed. So they have also a variety. They have, I asked him to bring some Schofields, if you want a Schofield. They have some good Schofields. They have something new called a Note Taker's Bible. A note-taker's Bible is different from a wide-margin Bible. They take a page of the Bible and they half in it. And one half is the scripture text, and the other half is blank, and you write your notes that you're doing your Bible study with on that. He's going to bring some of those. He's going to bring a very nice, if you like a giant print, they have a very nice giant print. I don't know if you may not have seen Brother Fry when he comes, but he has one of those Bibles. That's what he preaches out of. And it's not super giant, but it's a large print, and it's really easy to see if you're interested in something like that. So anyway, just letting you know, if you want to bring, if you save up, or if you put a little money aside and you need to buy a Bible, or somebody you know wants one, they will be here for you to look at Thursday night, okay? So just keep that in mind. So that's going to be Thursday night. All right, so I think I said earlier, Brother J.D. Walker will be here Wednesday night, Thursday night, Brother Shutt. Friday night, Brother Julius is going to take a minute and share some things about our internet radio, and then after that, Dr. Martin's going to talk about his international ministry and how he's worked on foreign fields as a missionary evangelist. And then Brother Ron Peel will be here Saturday night at 6 talking about a ministry God has raised up in his heart called Camp Meeting Ministries.
He will tell you very plainly that God has burdened him to reach small town America with the gospel tent. And there's a need there. So he'll be here. So just remember and please pray for these series of meetings coming up. All right. Brother Julius, lead us in prayer. Good day, and we'll see you this evening in the fellowship hall. Lord bless you.